Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
We are here with our host today, y'all. We invited him back again today. We had a great time with him last week. And we have the pages with us today, y'all. If y'all can give us some likes, some hearts, and some shares. And we are glad to have them back. They are our co-host for the month, y'all. We don't know what God is doing, but he's doing something. And we just here again, y'all. We're here again to talk about it. So we just kind of want to, we want to start off with prayer. We'll start off with prayer, because without that, without God, we wouldn't be doing it. So, you know, my wife, come on, baby, we want you to lead us in a word of prayer today.
About how much money you're actually entitled to. I want you to capitalize on a limited opportunity that can have you cashing out a massive check in the next 30 days. This opportunity will not last long, and it's perfect for anybody who's been in a car accident in the last 2 years and has not yet found a good attorney to help out. Do you still think it's impossible? I'm willing to guarantee that by clicking on the link below and filling out the 30-second quiz, you'll get a free case evaluation from a 5-star rated local attorney in your area. Think it's too good to be true?
Amen. Come on. Hey, how y'all doing? Hey, Kimmy.
Well, it's your girl, Lady Free.
And I'm Pastor Jay.
And we have our special guest. Introduce yourselves once again.
That would be Justina Page.
Yes.
James Page. Such a privilege to be here.
Oh, man.
Yes, we are.
We are so excited, y'all. We're glad to have them back. First of all, we're excited about Jesus today. And our desire, y'all, through this podcast is to really help marriages, singles, those who want to be married. You know, we really want to stomp on the devil's head because he desires to infiltrate the family. And that's the structure of the church. The family is the structure of the church, and that's the enemy's job, is to infiltrate it. But we're going to come against that. We're coming against that. And we just thank God. And a lot of times, you guys, we get our topics from you guys, from y'all's situations, from y'all's things that even from what we've been through. So today we're going to continue the talk that we talked about, transparency, but we're going to deal with the ugly truth. These are the things that people really don't like to deal with. This really was going on inside. And if I could start off this conversation, last week we were asking the pages and everybody that's at the table, we were asking to give the experience. But this week, we're going to actually ask everybody questions to really kind of give the advice what you should do in certain situations. So we want to start off today. A lot when people go through things when they're young, for some reason, it's hard for them to kind of deal with it, especially if they really don't know God. So what they do when they get in relationships, they have this wall up. They build this wall.
Yeah.
And from that wall, they stand behind that wall, and it's almost like they stand in a fighting posture, Because if you get over that wall, you're going to have to even still continue to fight.
Right.
And that wall is built up of lack of trust, certain issues that cause us to really build this wall.
Right.
So we want to deal with this wall today.
Okay,
we want to deal with this wall because this wall has a lot of ugly truths that come with this wall.
Yeah.
And I've heard a mythical, it's like a Greek mythical story about this man named Narcissus.
Okay, come on.
It was a mythical story. Mm-hmm. And they said he was very arrogant. He was very full of himself. He didn't really care about others. You know, he was very arrogant. And what he did was he happened to walk by this puddle of water and he saw an image of himself. And he stood there and looked at the image of himself until he died. He just died the whole time looking at himself. And for some reason, that's where they got this characteristic of narcissist from. Because of this characteristic of this man really admiring himself. So a lot of times, we go in relationships too. You got people who go in relationships and get in relationships with people who admire themselves and have no care about the other person.
Okay. Wow.
And I want to kind of deal. Let's kind of talk about that today. So if you, if we were to see a situation, because we deal with a lot.
Hear over the music.
So the music is still playing? I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. Let us know if you still hear anything.
If you still hear the music, I'll start that over because that was some good stuff, y'all.
All right, come on.
Again, so we was talking about a Greek mythology. A mythology. I'm not saying it right, but
mythological story.
Mythological. Yeah. Thank you, sir. It's a myth. Yeah. It is a myth now. Yeah. But we from this myth we came up with a whole lot of characteristics and what we kind of deal with today. Uh-huh. So what it is this man Narcissus. That's his name. Okay. And he was very arrogant, very full of himself. Didn't really give concern about the people that he was supposed to have concern for. So he had a very arrogant attitude.
Right.
What he did was he walked past, I think it was a pool or a puddle of water or something like that, where he was able to see his image. And God knows he admired that image. He just kept looking at himself.
He kept looking at
admiring himself. And then they said he admired himself for so long, that's how he died.
Right.
Admiring himself. And that's where we get the term narcissist from.
Okay.
Because those characteristics come from this Greek mythology.
Okay.
So I want to deal with today as far as like this narcissistic attitude and characteristic, because it's kind of prevalent in a lot of people's mental health that they're supposed to be dealing with. They say these are narcissistic characteristics
and traits and
personalities. So how do we, it's like, I want to kind of ask y'all, how will we deal if somebody, because we deal with a lot of people who come for counseling and they really want to know how to deal with this situation. A lot of people even stay and they don't even understand the keys what's going on here. So I just kind of want everybody to kind of like take their time and kind of elaborate on this character, this narcissistic characteristic, the ugly truth.
Okay, well, we'll let you go ahead and jump right in.
Okay.
All right. Just let the Lord lead.
It sounds like narcissism is basically being self-centered.
Self-absorbed.
Right.
Almost worshiping oneself.
Yes.
Right?
Come on.
And the ugly truth is we come here that way. Right?
Wow. Yes.
We're born with that nature.
Yeah.
I mean, from a child, you know, we cry when we want something. We cry when we need to be changed, and that's just our nature, right?
Uh-huh.
So that's something that we have to let go of, and I think personally that we need Christ for that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know which couples we're talking about here today, but if they don't have Christ as their basis, this is going to be hard to deal with.
It's going to be very hard to deal with.
But from a scriptural standpoint, let's take me as a husband. I think the way I can deal with that selfish nature of the flesh, if I could just use the scriptural way of talking about
it. Please do.
That selfish nature of the flesh, the way that I need to deal with that scripturally as a husband is to recognize that my wife is a part of my own body. That she is me.
Right.
She is part of me. Now, we have been joined together as one as far as the Lord is concerned.
Yes.
So to mistreat her is to mistreat myself.
Yes. Come on now.
So I could turn that thing on his head. If I really cared about myself, then I would treat myself very well. That is my wife. I would treat her as I would want to be treated. And I would take it one step further, because we always take very good care of our weakest areas, right? I mean, we protect that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would say if my wife is the more fragile aspect of our union or myself, I need to treat her better.
Wow.
Than I treat myself. I would say that would be the scriptural way to attack that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Look at her as if she is a part of my body, and she is the part of my body that needs the most protection.
That's true.
That's the way I would attack.
And not only protecting her better than yourself, but what God has joined together. So I think if you treat her bad, that's almost like treating God bad as well.
Absolutely, brother.
Because God.
Absolutely. That's
right. It's treating God back. That is the connection here.
Right.
What God has joined together, let no man put asunder.
Yeah.
And that even means our own self.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that out, because not only is she one with me, that's one thing, right?
Yes.
One reason to treat her well.
And, right. Exactly.
Yeah, and I was doing a spin on this self thing. But what you brought out is even more important, in my opinion. Yeah. That is, this is God's daughter.
That's right.
You better not mess
now,
with my dad.
Now, what does God think about his daughter?
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yes. And that's why that's an accountability now exactly. that's on me to treat God's daughter in a way.
So would it be safe to assume, because a lot of times we take on these mental illnesses that the world, I believe, have come up with from these mythologies and from these scientific studies.
Right.
They come up with these these characteristics that we take on, and it now becomes a problem for the society.
Absolutely.
When it is not even scriptural.
And even in the church, right?
Yeah. Even in the church. Like mental health.
Right.
Where is that in the scripture?
No. So here's the problem, right?
Okay.
A person who is in that situation is narcissistic often because they are alone as far as they're concerned.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only thing that can protect themselves or take care of themselves.
Yes.
And so since they have nobody else inside their wall, brother, they by themselves, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They're behind this wall and they're behind alone and they're vulnerable and they're afraid. And so they're going to attack anything that comes against them. And so they become obsessed with themselves. How much better would it be if you got somebody who loves you, who's got your back when you don't have to protect yourself?
That's right.
How much better if a Christian recognized how much they are loved by their father and how God is going to take care of everything. So if you know it, brother, if we take care of God's business, he's going to take care of ours, right? So a Christian need to begin to believe. I need to really begin to believe that, hey, if I put myself out on the line, if I make myself vulnerable, if I make myself second, if I make myself last, or however we want to say that, then God is the one who's going to take care of me. And if I do that all the way, then God has got my back in a better way than I can do for myself.
That's right.
As a believer, we need to believe that, and that takes away this insecurity, this fear, this reason to fight back.
That's right.
So
what could we tell somebody who really desires to be married and they're in a relationship and they're dating a very controlling person, controlling to the point where their emotions really, they're driven by their emotions. And most of the time people stay in relationships for the sake of being in a relationship. Mm-hmm. They have not been taught to look for these things, and they stay there because, oh, he loves. And a lot of people, believe it or not, think that's a form of love.
Let's be honest here.
They think that is a form. Well, if he don't fight me, he don't love me. Yeah. If he didn't hit, if he didn't scream at me, he didn't show me no attention.
That's a twisted mind.
So what will we tell somebody?
So here's what I would say. The ugly truth is, that person is not going to get any better by you marrying them.
Yes, marriage doesn't fix it.
Don't do that. Don't think that, well, if I marry them, okay, they're going to change. That's not the case.
Yes.
That's not, that's ugly.
That's the ugly truth. Exactly.
The ugly truth is you need to deal with that before you even think about getting married.
Exactly.
You need to deal with that before you get married. I mean, if you're already married, then you got to deal with it as a married person. But if you have not yet gotten married, now, what I would say, and this may sound unpopular, what I would say is don't get married until you can resolve that issue.
And how do you resolve that issue?
So you would need to get some spiritual counseling.
You have to really get some.
You got to get with somebody.
And then, you know what another thing that people do? A lot of times when people have been through a damaging relationship, whether it was father, friend, relationship, now every relationship is patterned after this one damaged relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you get triggers or something that may look like the hurt or the pain that you've been through in the prior relationship, you use that as a trigger to now treat this next person. Now there's a way that we could kind of pick up on that before it even happens. This, you have to understand that there is a level of communication that has to go on that we don't like to deal with. The ugly truth is there are some things that we don't like to deal with because we don't even want to see them ourselves.
Well, I think it also goes back to the very beginning of the whole situation, which means, first of all, I have to love me enough to say, okay, before I get too deep into this relationship, I'm not going to go into this relationship saying he's the one. A lot of times that's what we do. Because we finally got somebody, this must be the one. So because we think this the one, we also insert God. Well, God sent him. The way we meet him, if it's got something magical to it, oh, God must have sent him. Mm. So what we do is we stay because we came with the mindset of this must be the one. So then, because we understand this is the one, we deal with everything that comes along with this person thinking that we can save them, fix them. Mm. And a lot of women, we come as the savior.
Yeah.
God did say that he was going to send a helper, and the helper is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he told Adam, I'm going to send a helper. So it kind of like, you know, go hand in hand. However, God didn't send us to fix anybody because we can't. Mm.
Can I present an ugly truth in the middle of all of this?
Please.
The scripture tells us that he that finds a wife finds, you know,
a good thing, right?
Well, here's a little secret about marriage that many people skip over. Mm-hmm. There's a way to be joined together.
Okay. Wow.
When the scripture talks about being found, it means being discovered.
Yes.
Women, we have to position ourselves to be discovered and not do the discovery.
Yes.
Come on now. Yes.
We do it
that's
backwards.
Ugly truth. That's
yeah.
True. Come on.
And so what happens instead of going out, we are not the seekers. They're the finders.
Uh-huh.
Yes. We're to be discovered.
Yes.
So you put yourself in a path of godliness, of holiness, of righteousness, of seeking him, of loving him. Hmm. And then God is going to show him who you are.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when he discovers you, it just makes the whole thing a lot easier.
Wow.
Yes.
That's good. That's good.
The present. Wow. You present yourself.
Yeah.
No, that's
so presents. You have to, and what you have to do, you have to, like you said, dear sister, you have to value yourself to know, enough to know that you're worth a discovery.
That's right.
See, you have to realize.
Come on now. Come
you
on
gotta
now.
Know who
Come
you
on.
Are. You gotta know you gold, Come you're on. Diamond.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
You know, I came to Christ in college.
Yeah.
But what I learned through the scripture, and thank God I didn't have any, when it came to relationships, I didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have a lot of damaging things that had happened to me in relationship.
Right.
So I was solid in what I had read and what I received.
Mm.
And I was solid enough to turn down marriages.
Come on.
A proposal. I got proposed to 3 times before
him. Right, right.
I knew. No, you're not the one.
You're not the one.
No, you're not the one.
Mm-hmm.
I also knew when he asked me, yes,
you are the one.
Yes.
Wow.
But I think if we start at the right point, in the right mindset, a lot of things can be, we don't have to deal with.
We don't have to go through
that. Yeah, but unfortunately, I'm saying this for the sake of you guys who have not hooked up and got entangled yet.
Yes.
Value yourself.
That's yes. Right.
Know
That's
who
right.
you are.
That's
you
right.
are
Come on.
The discovery.
That's right.
You are worth being discovered. It's
That's
like
right.
an agent out there trying to find the next basketball
That's
store.
Right. That's right.
He's going to sit back. He's going to look. This man observed me. For a minute.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Ooh.
Wow. Come on here. Come on here.
He had to discover.
That's a t-shirt. He observed me.
Yeah, for a minute.
Yes.
And I was discovered.
You was discovered.
Yeah.
And how does it feel to be discovered?
It feels like a good thing,
Ooh-wee.
I promise you. Yeah, it does.
That's powerful what y'all are
on
saying.
The reality.
Ooh-wee.
Y'all are all bouncing off each other.
Wow.
That means if I can use the term that you use, well, if the narcissist doesn't value you, that
That's
must
right.
not be, it must not.
It's not the one.
If now, he does, ooh.
Either he's not the one or he ain't ready.
That's
yes. one,
okay.
one,
one
of the other.
One of the other, you're right about it.
Yeah, he's not the one or he ain't there yet. And like she was saying, if you value yourself enough and you value your relationship with God, here's the other thing, I think probably with the ladies and the men, if you value marriage as a sacred thing, then it's not something we play with.
It's not.
That's right.
Come on
so
now.
We're not experimenting.
Come on now.
We're not going to try this person,
come
see
on.
If it work out.
Come
That's
on,
right.
speak.
We're going to ask God. I mean, we
That's
prayed.
Right.
Yeah.
We when we prayed, even when it was going on and we almost knew, but man, we still said, well, no, let's pray. We got on our, we,
That's right.
Why? Because once I step over this line,
come
that's
on.
It.
That's it.
This ain't no game.
This ain't no game.
This ain't something I go in talking about walking out of. It's sacred.
That's right.
It's honorable. It's before God.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, before I even found my wife, I asked God. I just have to be honest with you. I asked
Come
God
on.
To. If find her for me. You want to hear the real truth?
Yes,
the
truth? That's the truth.
That's
right.
I asked God to find her because I said, I don't know what I'm doing.
That's right.
I may pick her because she's fine, because of her
that's
body,
right. That's
because,
right.
because of her looks.
Come on.
I mean, I make all of those mistakes right. as a man.
Come on,
right?
come on. I did
so
it too.
I said, God, I need you
yes.
to pick my wife.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Because for me, if it's serious business, once I married this woman, that's it.
That's right.
That's right.
And so I think marriage needs to be sacred enough.
Yeah.
Where we keep the standard high. As far as I'm not talking about the person got to be perfect because there's no such person, but I'm saying we got to ask God if this is the right person for us, and we got to keep the standard where it belongs.
That's right, Kim Scott.
Yeah.
Very important.
Let me read what Kim says. She says, sometimes we are so emotional, we see the signs while dating, but we are blinded by what we think is love, and we marry anyway.
That's right.
Hey, you know why we do that, Kim? And I can't say I did it in a marriage relationship, but other relationships. Because usually those people are fulfilling something we desire.
That's right. And, that void. That's right.
We hold on because we don't want to let that part go.
That part.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, he might be beating the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Come on.
The ugly truth. That's what this is.
He might be beating the hell out of me, but he's making me feel like I'm valued.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's true.
He might be doing this, but.
I see that happening.
When I was young, no one ever called me pretty. He calls me pretty.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, something as simple as that.
Something as simple little things.
And for us, because we, like, if somebody didn't go through that, let's say maybe you was a stand when you was older, to hear someone say, well, that's the reason, it would be automatic judgment. That's it. All he had to say was, but for that person, that's a lie.
Exactly. That's exactly why I'm bringing that out. Ugly truth. I like this title. Ugly truth.
Yes.
You know, do you know, here's something real in our relationship. It took him forever to convince me that I was pretty.
Oh, wow.
Forever.
Wow.
What? I've been told all my life how ugly I was.
Oh, my. Come on.
How I was this. I was that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I just knew I was ugly. That's why I never dated.
Oh,
it wasn't that no one ever asked me or whatever. I just thought they would messing around with me, because I knew I was ugly, you know.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I knew it.
Wow.
Not I thought it. I knew it as a fact.
Wow.
And ugly truth? Let's go a step further. I thought God, and this is going to be funny, but I thought this. I thought God made him marry me. Like,
wow.
Like, not that
sympathy
he really wanted to,
but
it's like, he's just spiritual enough to do that.
Wow.
That's exactly
how I came into the truth. That's the ugly truth.
That's exactly how I came into it.
Do you know what happens a lot, too? I want y'all to chime in on this, too.
Okay.
A lot of times, because we have the nature to want things to work, or because we've been in church and we shouted, so now we feel like we are the people who can change sometimes the people that we get with.
Mm-hmm.
So we stay a lot longer than we should, thinking that, oh, I'm the one that can change them. What would you say to somebody who stays in a situation trying to change that person to become what they need them to come in the relationship? Because I hear this problem a lot.
And I hate to say it like this. We're talking about the ugly truth.
The ugly truth.
You're fooling yourself.
Yes.
You're really fooling yourself.
Yes.
And it's really not your place to do it.
Yeah.
Even if you could force somebody to change, what good is that?
Yeah.
I mean, what good is that? Yeah. They need to change because they can see themselves and desire to be better. I mean,
and if
they don't do that, you're not going to change it. So let me say this. If you're going to marry somebody, and I'm not going to say that there might not, I mean, nobody's perfect, right? So they may have an issue and you may go ahead and marry them and that may be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be willing to recognize that I got to deal with this.
Yes.
Now, I got to accept this. This is who they are.
This is who they are.
Okay, this is who they are.
Right.
And I married them this way. I knew they were this way. Ain't no need of me pretending now that they shouldn't be this way.
Right.
I knew it before we got married. So,
absolutely.
So if we marry and I love them that much, and I'm not going to speak against that, then you have to accept that person for who they are.
That's right.
Right.
And you got to love them for who they
are. That was good. So I'm not telling you not to do it, but I'm telling you, just know what you're getting into.
T.D. Jakes.
That's right.
Be honest about it.
Yeah.
T.D. Jakes had used an analysis of a keyhole in the key. The keyhole has the ridges, and also the key has the ridges.
Mm-hmm.
So that means it's not a perfect groove. But if that key, when you stick it in the keyhole, and that ridge can fit that ridge,
come on.
It makes a perfect You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in other words, if her ugly and my ugly can fit together and make that perfect.
Come on now.
We can love each other.
That's right.
We can love each other.
All of us crazy.
Yeah. That's right.
But if you're crazy, yeah, we all have that. Crazy, yeah.
There you go.
And it clicked.
There you go.
A lot of times we force the key in, trying to push it in
there.
Trying to break the key off in there. But it has to be a perfect.
Absolutely. But to your point, you're not trying to change them.
Right. Yes.
You're accepting them for who they are and loving them in spite of the ugly truth of who they are.
Right.
Why? Because you know you're ugly too.
That's right.
And so you all have accepted each other and love. And guess what? In our imperfection, that can be a beautifully perfect thing in the eyes of the Lord.
But you just said something. You said if you love that person. Yeah. A lot of times what we hear is complaining about that person. What we hear is he's not this or she ain't this, but you got into that. So now being that you're into it, I like that. Love that person.
That's right.
Because only love can cover a multitude of sin. That's if you don't know what love is, then you don't need to be there.
Yeah, we've been married for what, 34 years now?
Wow, yeah. 34 some, years, y'all.
There's some things that we know is not going to change.
Absolutely not.
It's just
I'm
not going to change
talk too much.
Right.
I mean, whatever it is, whatever the hang up is, it's not going to change. However upset you
get
about it, however you don't like this is that person. You have to accept the ugly truth about that person and love them anyway.
And here's the deal.
Here's how we're deceived. We feel like the ugly is only one way. That's our problem.
That's the narcissistic schism.
So there's something about you that they putting up with too.
That's right.
They enduring too.
Uh-huh.
That ticks them off. Every time they see it, it fires them up.
But
right?
The crazy part about it is we think we just that great of a person that we only putting up with they stuff and they not putting up with ours a lot of times. I have a comment here from Sheena. She says, we can't fix a glass broken up in a lot of pieces.
Mm.
What happens is I believe that when we try, you're going to always see all of those little parts, you know, the glue that you're going to see where it was put together. But when God does it, you're not going to find any of that.
There you go.
And then if it's a looking glass now that all of the pieces are in place like God wanted, permanently, because the other thing is temporary. You hit it wrong, it's broken again. But now that it's permanent, that looking glass can now help me see my reflection.
Mm.
And now I can see my ugly truth.
Yeah.
How does God heal us? Love.
He loves us.
Only his love is perfect.
I believe if you get to the point where you feel that you have to change somebody, then there's a void missing inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
There's something missing that you're looking to fulfill because now you need this person to meet a criteria or an expectation that you done set. Yeah. And that's what happens a lot of times. So I need you to meet this need. So you got to change.
Yeah.
And that's a very selfish way to get into any relationship.
Brother, you're saying something there. You're hitting something on me here. Because I feel like if you force a person to be something before you accept them or love them.
Exactly.
Now, your love is not real love. It's not unconditional love.
Right.
And the person feels that and just going to get worse.
Yeah. Oh, my.
They're just going to clam up worse because you're not accepting and loving them for who they are.
Right.
See, if you love them enough as they are,
that's right.
Then God can go to work
in
their heart.
That's right.
And then they can recognize, hey, wait a minute. You know what? I've been bad to this man. I've been bad to this woman. I need to change. And then maybe they'll get on their knees.
Somebody
who's hard can change. Because if you attack them from the standpoint of their vulnerability, I'm going to withhold my love. I'm going to withhold this until you change.
Wow.
What you're doing is you're setting up a battlefield now.
That's right.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And all they're going to do is go on the defense now.
You're
going to have another problem that you have to deal with. It doesn't work that way. We have to love each other, especially if we're married.
That's right.
If you're married, you got to love each other unconditionally and accept one another, flaws and all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you love them, you're praying for them, and then God goes to work in the heart of that other person. That's why the Bible tells the woman, she got a man that's not obeying the word. He said, without a word, through your chase conversation, that's you it. Can win him as he sees your fear for the Lord and your willingness to obey God.
And these things that God put in the Word, they work.
They work. Yeah, they do.
But what we don't want to do is what we say is, I tried it and it didn't work. Because you did it.
Yeah.
And you didn't allow God to use you to do it.
That's right.
And you probably was doing it for the wrong motive. I know some people, a couple of people rather, who, because nobody saved them, they have that mentality, they got to save him. And it's so much so that they'll go to any lengths to try. Every guy that they get with, he's a project. I got to save him.
Yeah.
I got to fix him because nobody was there to save me and fix me.
My Lord.
Now, what would you say to that person?
Okay, I'll take that one. I had one of the biggest deliverances of my life in 2014, about 7 years ago, when I learned to let God be God and stop trying to fix his people, stop trying to step in his shoes and do what only God can do. There are some things that only God can do.
Amen.
We have to let God be God, and we got to realize who we are.
Right.
We have the power to change our lives, our attitudes, our situations.
That's right.
We don't have the power to do that
for
people, our own people, our judgments.
That's right.
Our praise. Mm. It goes either way.
Wow.
All of that has no power. Aside from what God is doing.
Yeah.
So I've learned to make space, not only with my husband, I'm talking in a generality now, with people. I mean, you're talking about some freedom and some joy. When you try to be God, that's a burden. Because everything's
you're taking on his
you.
Weight. That's right.
You're taking on a weight.
That's right.
He said his burdens are light.
That's right.
Talk about it.
Sometimes we're yoking up to things that we weren't made to carry.
Right.
The load is too heavy.
Come on.
So you have to make sure you're in place. I'm all about that. I'm all about making sure I'm going to let people be people.
Yeah.
Like T.D. Jakes said, we crazy.
Yeah.
And he is so right.
All of us.
We are off.
Yeah.
Sin is in us.
That's right.
We're all.
Born
and but God has a way. If we can get out of the way and let him have his way.
Wow.
It sounds so simple, but it is a difficult thing to do in reality because it requires trust.
Yeah.
And we like to control.
Yeah.
And we like to maneuver and shift and order our lives and all that stuff.
Yes.
But if we could learn, I am just so free right now. I'm just testifying.
Come on.
Because I don't worry about nobody.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I intercede for people.
Right.
Don't mean I don't love for people.
Yeah.
Before standing over them, trying to watch their moves and what they're doing and if they're changing.
Too much.
Yeah. That's God's work.
It's enough to look over me.
That's true.
And that's where I'm focused now.
Wow. Yeah.
I believe, oh, God, y'all, it's hot in here.
It's hot.
The temperature is hot
it's a
in here.
Fireball. Come on.
Like and share, y'all. But I also do believe, too, that God requires us to know those that labor among us.
Uh-huh.
So that means when I got with my wife, I had to know the makeup of a woman, not just a woman, but this woman.
This woman.
Know that God, even just the nature of a woman, they're incubators. So whatever you give them, they take it.
We're going to bring it to life.
And they bring it back to life.
Oh, we're going to give life to it.
They give life to it.
Yes.
So if you with somebody that's giving you a whole lot of fuss, and it's something that you're implanting in her. It's something that you're imparting.
All right.
So we got to be careful what we display and what we impart.
That's right.
Because we're going to get it back, not just that, but we're going to get it back double because they done carried this thing for 9 months.
So we sow the wind and reap the whirlwind.
That's right.
Say that again.
Well, the scripture talks about sowing the wind, but reaping the whirlwind. So what you're saying, brother, if I plant a bad seed in my wife
woman,
what's going to come back going to be a lot worse.
It's going to be a lot worse.
It's going to be a mighty oak.
Yes.
It's
a problem.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. It's
going to
be worse.
Yeah,
so
brother.
That's why it's so important to not play with this thing.
You're right,
because
brother.
It is so serious
to
that point, even to the point where even now, too, for women, men, they are the foundation, but understanding that God is the direction for this foundation that he has placed in us.
Right.
And women can't hold that foundation. Mm-hmm. But if we're not in place, then some women are forced to try to hold the foundation, mm-hmm. but they're still out of place.
Right. Yeah. And this is what I noticed about you. And it's not an ugly truth. It's the truth. You are a very powerful woman. You appear, now I've heard you speak now, so you appear to be a little bit less of vocal and out, but at the same time, I still see the order. Because you are a dominant woman, you're not dominating the marriage.
Oh, no.
I don't see that. You still you. I see you. Mm-hmm. But it's still order.
It
here.
Works, yeah.
Absolutely.
People works. Act like, well, if I'm a strong woman, I need to, oh, he need to be. I thought that. I say I run you over like a freight train. It's just my personality because I'm a dominant woman. I need somebody more dominant than me. Mm. But actually, that's not the truth, because all you need to know is I need to be in order. Regardless of whether he's a little bit more chill than you, mm-hmm. or whatever. See, the thing
that's
that
right.
we're not teaching is that order.
That's right.
So what Amen. We do is we get into it. Mm. He's not as dominant as me. So now we take his head and put it under the neck. And now the neck is leading. That don't even look right.
No.
For the neck, because he's the head. Wow. I consider a woman as the neck and the children is the body. You know, I said, the children.
Could you imagine that? Because I just pictured that.
That's what I did when I first, eyes. When God showed that to me. he didn't show me a neck with eyes. But that's a good one too. But what I thought is like, for the man, can you imagine a man having no neck? He ain't gonna do nothing but look. You know how them people be looking like you. He ain't gonna turn
Mr.
nowhere.
Brown look.
He not yeah, gonna yeah, turn. Yeah, yeah. He gonna have everything got to turn. But when you have that neck, now that neck, we turn the body.
Uh oh.
We turn
Talk
the
about
thing.
It.
We
Talk
help
about
you
it.
Turn.
Talk
you know.
About it.
We help you understand where to look. But when you out of order,
so
now you got a neck with eyes.
I think what makes it difficult for many women is. They have to understand that they're not submitting to man as much as they're submitting to God.
That's
what they're missing.
Uh-huh.
That's what they're missing.
Come on.
When you stand in the place that God have placed you and support and build. See, I don't care if you do have a weak husband. You need to be building him. The Bible says a wise woman builds her house.
That's right.
But a
yes.
foolish woman plucks it down
right.
with,
yes,
her,
with
own
her own
hands.
That's Come right. on.
So if that's you right. got a man who needs more help, then that's why you're a strong woman.
That's right.
And if you're a strong woman and you're submitting to God, it doesn't matter what the man is. If you're submitting to God, then uh-huh. you're going to build that man.
Yeah.
You're going to pray for that man.
Uh-huh.
You're going to support and encourage that man in godly things mm-hmm. until he comes to the place where God would have him to be.
Wow.
So being a strong woman, instead of being a detriment, becomes an asset.
Damn.
Uh-huh. That's it. Uh-huh.
Because you are submitted to God.
Yeah.
And don't tell me God ain't strong enough for
Come
you.
On, okay.
Don't,
yeah.
don't tell me God Come is not on, strong enough. And here's another thing that... A mistake that some women make.
Okay,
and
come
y'all
on.
Y'all done got me started
it's
now.
The
so,
ugly
come on,
truth.
So, come on. Come on.
So here's the mistake they make. They take love passiveness for weakness.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That can be a deadly mistake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because every man is quiet ain't weak.
That's right.
Just because
right.
he lets you do a little running. If you run a little bit too far, you might run
come
up
on,
against
come
a wall.
On, come
now, that,
come
that's
on.
That's something
wow.
to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So and it's the same way with God, and that's
yeah.
really where I'm headed.
Okay.
Because God let us do many things, and we feel like we're just getting away with it, but you're really not. He's just long-suffering.
Wow.
He's
yes.
just loving. He's just kind. And
wow.
he let us appear to run all over him. But don't be fooled.
Come on.
Don't
now.
Be fooled. So I would say to any woman
wow.
or man
uh-huh.
who's trying to manipulate the relationship
yeah.
through control issues outside
come on,
of the
on.
Word of God or the purpose of God,
yeah.
you're only boring trouble for yourself, and eventually it's going to snap back and bite you.
My goodness.
Wow.
Eventually.
My goodness.
Do y'all hear this, y'all? The
Ooh,
ugly truth.
Eventually. That's right.
Sometimes the truth is very hard to deal with,
it
but
is.
You got to deal with it
yes,
because it will set you free.
Amen.
And,
yeah.
and so many people walk around bound with so many issues that they have not allowed God to deal with.
That's right.
So, and then what we do is we use the relationship as the crutch to deal with the issues that we
yeah.
didn't allow God to deal
yeah.
with. And that is a detriment to the relationship.
It's going to get us every time. We have to submit to God and His Word.
Yes.
If we don't work, I like the way the sister keeps bringing it up. If we don't work it the way the Word says, it's not going to work. We may think we got a better mousetrap. Mm-hmm. We may think that modern psychology is better. We may think that we have a better idea. But if you don't do it God's way, it's not going to work. If you don't believe that, ask Adam and Eve.
That's right.
God said, don't eat the fruit. The day you do it, it's going to die.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The devil convinced the woman in this case, you know, God, he's not really telling you the truth. He don't want you to know that if you do this, it's really going to empower you.
Yeah.
If you do this, you're really going to be free.
Right.
If you do this, you're really going to be like God. And when she disobeyed and convinced her husband to disobey with her, at first it seemed like their plan was working.
Yeah. Mm.
They didn't drop dead all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was going to be okay.
Mama.
Wow.
But as far as God was concerned, as soon as they did it, they was dead. The connection was broken between them and God. They were on their own, and it was just a process of time before that decay set in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And immediately they had problems. They couldn't trust God anymore.
Wow.
They start hiding from God.
Yeah.
They wanted to hide from each other.
Yeah.
Then they became afraid.
Yeah.
One thing after the other. God had already told them, but they let the modern psychology of the devil convince them that this word is too tight. Really, God is keeping you from something.
Mm-hmm.
He's really withholding you from who you are, lady, who you are, man.
Right.
Be yourself.
Wow.
Do your truth.
What happens, do you.
Right.
And what happens is it seems like that's going to work, but the wisdom of man will never overthrow the word of God.
Right.
And I've got to tell you honestly that it's not going to work.
It's not going to work.
Y'all forgive me for that. I know.
No.
Can I apologize? Can I go to the end of it?
Yeah.
Period. It's
that's
not going to work.
It's not
period.
Work. Yeah.
No. Absolutely not.
It's nothing.
Wow.
So it only just piggybacks on what we talk about a lot, that it is hard to have a marriage sustained without God as the center. It's just hard.
It's not going to work.
That's what it's for.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Marriage is for God.
And that's why it confuses me, because when you see the divorce rate, it's more higher in the church. Because a lot of times when it don't work with people that don't go to church, they at least have the sense enough to say, well, let's work it out for the kids. But in the church, where we supposed to have God, it don't work.
It's so sad.
So the divorce rate in the church is more higher than it is outside of the church.
Yeah. And that's because people are in it for themselves.
Mm.
Marriage is not made for self.
Narcissism.
Marriage is made for
to give up yourself.
Yeah. Wow. The purpose.
It's all about the other person
and
their needs.
You know what I thought about when
think
you said
about,
that?
Think
ahead,
about what
ahead.
The scripture said.
Uh-huh.
Even your body's not your own.
It's not.
We don't talk about that, right?
Yeah,
that's the word.
That's true.
Your body is not even your own.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
My body's his.
That's right.
Yeah.
His body's mine.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's true.
Do benevolence.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right. Come on.
Talking about, I don't feel like it tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I got a headache.
Yeah. We don't do that in our house.
Well, it's not biblical.
Because we live by that, what you just said.
It's not biblical.
Yeah.
It is not biblical. This is not. So let me ask y'all this question.
Come on.
Do you believe that intimacy is, because a lot of people use intimacy, well, that's to be sex. They use sex to be the fixer of problems.
Mm.
You know, sex is the thing that fixes. Well, if we have sex, we don't even have to deal with it. It actually supplements from actually dealing with it. But most people believe that if you have sex, now everything is okay. You know what I'm saying? We don't even have to deal with the issues. What is y'all take on that?
No.
Absolutely not. You just swept it on the rug. It's coming up again.
I'm going to bounce off my cereal. Period.
Come on with the tea.
No, the problem is still there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You're just simply disguising it, denying it. No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, now y'all know I'm a little bit. Now she called herself crazy too, but I'm really the one.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Crazy. Okay.
I'm glad he does. We really love you.
Yes. Right. That's right.
This is the person I know.
Yes.
So if there's a real problem that needs to be addressed, I say leave the sex alone.
That's
and
right.
address the problem.
Wow.
Right. Okay.
Because here's for me, sex facilitates the intimacy that we're supposed to have with one another, which is the oneness.
Yeah.
It's not to cover up the brokenness. What it's to do is to facilitate the oneness.
Uh-huh.
So here's my deal. if you're going to be having sex, and we're talking about married people here, right. So if you're going to be having sex, you need to be doing it as one.
Yes.
Not as broken. Fighting. Yes. You're fighting and cursing and hurting. Wow. And then all of a sudden y'all fall in bed and lust and basically consume that lust. But that union wasn't done in a oneness type of spirit.
I like that.
I know I'm stretching it a little bit.
No, I like that.
If I'm intimate with my wife, I want it, there's lust, but I want it to be love, to be the primary thing.
Right.
Okay. And I don't want to do it just to gratify my flesh.
Yeah.
Wow. That's not the, listen, I want it to be a facility. So if there's a big problem, I'm not going to go try to cover it with sex.
Yeah. No.
I'm going to try to deal with this in love and in honesty. And then when we are at peace, then I want us to facilitate that love and that union. I don't understand sex and confusion. I don't understand how people do that. Now I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
How are you going to be intimate in hate? or an anger.
Yeah, but that's an act of love. Right. Wow.
No, it doesn't make sense. So,
I like that.
So I would say, listen, let's withhold on the sex. Let's not pretend here. Let's go ahead and deal with this and be at peace with one another and respect one another.
Gotcha.
I'm not going to be tearing her clothes off when I know she's upset with me. I'm going to sit down and say, hey, you know, I want to be tender. I want to be loving.
Yeah.
I want to be kind.
Yes.
And then when she can receive me, then we can... intimate.
That's right.
Now, that's the way I see it.
I like how you said sex facilitates intimacy.
That's right.
A lot of people act like it's the same thing.
No.
It facilitates it.
Right.
I also have another comment
here. Put on some.
She says, when couples say, I'm not staying, she's referring to a statement you made earlier about staying for the kids. Mm-hmm. When couples say, I'm not staying for the children, that's a selfish statement because you should stay and work it out for your children. What do you think about that? You should stay and work it out for your children.
Well, I just think sometimes we get with people that we don't love. We get with them for sex, and it's a void filler. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, unfortunately, kids are made out of lustful situations.
Absolutely.
So the ugly truth, that's the ugly truth.
Right.
And I believe this is why you have to really make sure that this is the institution that God has planned for your life, so that when you're doing it the way God ordains it, then there won't be no questions about staying because you already know that this is what I'm going to do.
That's right.
Well, let me chime in here a little bit, too, because God covers everything in his word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He tells us when we can leave.
Yes, he
gives
does.
Us our out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just as simple as that. Yeah. And if it's not according to his word, you have to stay.
Yeah.
And you have to work through it. There mm-hmm. are conditions, though, I believe her name was Kim.
Kim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you have an out. So I'm not one to say, just stay there, just stay there, just mm-hmm. stay there. No. There are some conditions.
That's true.
That God himself say. Get out of there.
Except it be.
Absolutely. I agree. Okay. I agree 100%.
That's
the scripture. Now here's the deal about, I love the way you brought that up, brother, because every situation is not ideal.
No. Yeah, it's not.
Some people got married before they got saved.
Yeah.
Some
people
got married and then they got saved and the partner didn't get saved. And there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Right.
So I say this, even if you got married for the quote unquote wrong reason, you're married. Just love that person. You can start if you didn't marry him because you loved him, fall in love with him.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or
now
I hate to say that, and you want to talk about some ugly truth.
Yeah.
Fake it till you make it.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you married for the wrong reason doesn't mean that you're not married.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you're not obligated under God to.
Yeah,
because let me say this: marriage before God is an ordinance that honors God Himself. Mm.
Wow.
So therefore, the marriage is more important than your own personal happiness. Now, I know
not
people don't want to hear that.
Come on,
I know people don't want to hear that.
That's not popular.
But honoring God is more important than your feel good.
Wow.
Glorifying God and magnifying. So therefore, if the marriage dissolves, and I'm talking from my heart here in area, but if the marriage dissolves, let it be the other person that walk away.
Yeah.
I'm going to honor God.
Yeah.
I'm going to worship God. I'm going to do everything in my power to love that person. I mean, people talk about I fell out of love. I don't love them anymore. Okay. They don't have anything to do with it. Love is a choice. I chose this person. I choose to love this person no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how uncomfortable it gets. Now I am sacrificing myself before God. And you know what I'm believing? I'm believing God's going to bless my effort, bless my commitment, and he's going to bless my union. And I tell you what, if you go in 100% like that, that's going to do something to that person.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Now that's the truth.
So could that be the same as believing that you really don't marry for love, you marry for commitment to God?
That's primary.
I agree.
Because real love is not just an emotion.
That's right.
Emotions really follow our decisions. Emotions can be very unstable, we're not calling love an emotion. Love is the thing that can cause good emotion, but it also can cause some pain, right?
That's right. Okay. That's right.
So love is a decision. It is me deciding to put this other person before myself. Wow.
That's true.
I mean, think about it. if it's a child of yours, that's your child.
That's true.
You may not even like them, but you love them. I mean, this is your child. Right? You got to take care. So this is my wife. This is my body.
Right.
This is my better half, as we like to say.
Yeah.
I honor her. I love her. Falling out of love, that's a ridiculous. Now, y'all forgive me. Now, I told you I'm crazy.
That's real talk.
But falling out of love, it don't even make sense. You don't fall in or out of love. You choose.
To love.
You choose. And love you may have reason why you've chosen this, but now that you've chosen them and you've married them, that's your husband, that's your wife, now you are challenged by God to honor him by staying true and loving them through it all.
I like what he said. He said, you do not fall in and out of love. You choose it.
That's right.
It's a choice.
I choose to
everything
love you,
is
I choose
a choice.
Absolutely.
It's a choice. Sin is a choice.
Yeah.
Serving God is a choice.
Yeah, it is.
That's loving it is all a choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The highest aspect of love is voluntary. It is choice. Yes. The highest aspect. We're not talking about the feeling and the emotion, the eros, the sex, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We're talking about the highest form of love is choice. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life. And don't tell me it felt good for him to give his hands to the cross.
That's right. It wasn't no feeling.
As a matter of fact, he was crying out to God, trying to find another way. Love made him go through with it.
Yeah. Yes. Wow.
Come on.
How many of us in relationships, not even just marriage relationships, before you get to the marriage or the engagement, have cried out to God for another way? How many wives are in marriages or husbands are in marriages right now, and they crying out to God right now for another way?
Mm.
Lord, what do I do? I think a lot of times, too, the reason why the divorce rate is so high among Christians is because we don't stay long enough to watch God work.
That's right.
So because we've not seen his power, God says a lot of these things I do so that you would believe.
That's right.
So if you don't even believe it'll work, you're not going to stay long enough and you lose hope and you're not going to believe God can do. Mm. I serve a God that can and will.
He will.
He will do it. Mm. He can do it. And he will use you as a platform to help other people. But because so many Christians are, our friends tell us to walk away, or it's just too hard, or the emotional, the sensational needs are not being met, or whatever, we walk away.
That's right.
And because we're walking away so easily today, actually, let me not say easily, because sometimes it's hard.
It's hard.
But we walk away before we allow God to do what he put you there. He said, I need you there.
Mm.
This was an answer to a prayer. So if you, and this is not everybody's situation, I'm not saying that, but for those who you know God sent you to that person because that person needed a helper.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right there.
You know something interesting? A lot of people talk about the opposite of love is hate. I don't believe that.
Okay. Mm.
I believe the opposite of love is selfishness.
Wow.
I think that's what the opposite of love is. And I think when it comes to marriage, the biggest enemy of a marriage is selfishness.
Yeah, amen.
If we could find a way, and I'm talking about all of us, to do our marriages in a spirit of love and not in a spirit of selfishness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything about me and what he's doing to me and what I get and what I need and
My goodness. Come on.
If we can, if we could go into marriage and serve and love and what you need, how can I help?
Yes.
I'm going to be honest. That's how I live my marriage. You want to know why we so happy? That's what we do to each other. I know he does it for me. I do it for him.
Right.
I don't have to think about me. I know he got that covered. So I go into it thinking about him. What would make him happy? What does he like? And I'm steady seeking that. I'm literally, this day, 34 years later, I'm still doing that.
Wow.
I wake up every day thinking about what would make him happy today.
Absolutely.
Do y'all see why we invited this power couple
back? Absolutely amazing. Y'all, we have 5 minutes left. I want to take the opportunity. Hold on 1 second. We discussed this book last week. Oh, y'all, can y'all see this? Circle of Fire. The Circle of Fire. This book was written by yours truly, Miss Justina Page. Now, I started reading this book. This is a page turner. This is a easy read. She hits this happened and then that and then after this and this. And she uses words that will cause you to have chills as you read. This is the life. And I want you to reiterate, too, about a little bit more about what this because I'm almost willing to buy more just to give them. People need to read this because you made a statement in there. You said with one day that Saturday. You said you was just busy doing what you do in the church. You was with your friend girls, the pastor's wife, and y'all was just doing y'all thing. You got home thinking that that Sunday was just going to be another day. And in a twinkling of an eye, everything changed.
Yeah.
That's why before you make your statement, is this okay? Before you make your statement, we've never really truly done this, but I'm making an appeal to every single person that's listening today, it is imperative for you to make a decision what you are going to do. Because if you die today, this book made me desire to say, if you died today, where would you go? Would you be with Jesus Christ and God in heaven? Or would you be in an eternal lake of fire? I know some people don't even believe in that. But my desire is in a twinkling of an eye, she said, everything changed. And I want you to tell them a little bit about that because we need to start bringing Jesus. We need to start pointing people back to God. Get your lives in order to the point when I say order is give your life to Christ. He is the Lord of my life. Man. I've given him. I've said, Lord, I can't do nothing with me. I'm a wretch. I'm a mess.
Yes, yes.
I need you to become the Lord of this land, my landlord. I need you to come into my heart.
Yes.
I need you to fix those things I can't fix. I'm not going to wait to fix them first and then come to you. I want you to come in and fix this mess that I made.
Yes.
Choices I made. It wasn't the devil. It was me.
Come on now.
And so God came and he arrested my heart. And I know if I die, when we walk up out of here,
praise God.
If I die, I want people, I'll tell them, don't cry for me. Yeah, cry. You know, I know y'all gonna cry.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I'm gonna be in a better place. Yes.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit more about the Circle of Fire before we are done. And I want mine signed. I already told you I want my signed copy.
Yeah, well, I'll get that purple pen and do that. You know I sign in purple. But the Circle of Fire is the story of myself, my husband, our 6 sons, a real tragic house fire. And basically, I asked God a question. This is the real truth. Y'all don't be asking God questions. But anyway, I asked God a question. Everyone said I was so strong in my faith and everyone wanted counsel from me and so forth and so on. But I asked God a question. I said, Lord, of course I'm happy. Nothing has ever happened to me since I've been saved. What if something happened to me? Would I be able to stand? I asked God that question. And it was 2 weeks later. I awoke to explosions, TVs popping, total darkness, house totally engulfed in flames.
Wow.
The Circle of Fire talks about the real journey of when I woke up out of coma. And I would like to say, with my faith sanctified self, that I said, hallelujah. Mm. My first words was, what the hell, God? What? Yep. All I've done is serve. All I've done is love. Now I have a son that's gone. I have another son hanging on. Me and him have zero chance to live. We done lost everything we have. All my boys are burned. And here we are. What? Circle of Fire touches my what's, my how's, my who's, my honest feelings, and God's power to make all things work together for good according to his purpose. He makes all things beautiful in his time. All. It's nothing he can't do.
You're right about it.
You know what they said? You know what people say about her and her book, what they love the most? Her transparency.
Yeah. And that's what I was getting at.
That's what they say.
The ugly truth. You shared exactly how you felt. And some of it the church would frown upon.
That's right.
Yeah, they would.
Your true feelings, but you laid it all out right here. And one thing I have to say, when I read what your husband did.
Yes.
You said he jumped in and out of the window.
Yeah.
Taking you and your boys.
Oh, yeah.
In and out trying to save everybody.
That's right.
That was in that house. Even in the thing of you going back in to save your babies, he kicked you back out the window to save your life. But people don't think about now that's a husband.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's a husband.
He don't have to be loud and shouting and doing stuff.
But when it counted.
I know who I got.
Come on. When it counted. The weakness in his weakness, God, that was nothing but God. Y'all, you have to get this book. This book will definitely, I haven't even finished reading the book, but it will change your life about what God can do and how you can make it through in your truth, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't nothing fake about your feelings.
Mm-mm. No.
Sister, there are several people that were going to take their life. That book saved their life.
My God.
Yeah. Because what happens, Christians do, they won't tell their real feelings. They try to, we want to post and posture like we're so much.
And make it pretty.
But what I'm trying to do is reach the people who are feeling like me right now.
Right.
To show them, that's okay. God's not afraid of your real emotions.
Yeah.
God's big enough to handle any emotion we got.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
So God can take that emotion. And he will work it.
Yeah, he will.
And he will help you. And he will move you where you need to be.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's kind of a sage way to what you all are doing today. Mm-hmm. Because you're talking about the ugly truth.
Transparency, yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
The ugly truth is that, y'all, we are ugly.
Yeah. That's right.
We are ugly. But God loves us anyway.
Yeah.
And he loves us so much that he's working to make us pretty.
That's right.
Come on.
And I love that about him. I love that about him.
And it's going through that process. Yeah. Going through that process, man. Man, this is why we invited them back, y'all. I just thank God how he's really putting us around. God, to be honest with you, God is really changing the company that me and my wife used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing it right before my eyes because he's putting us around people that are now taking us to where he has us to go. Instead of us being around people to fulfill our desires.
Right.
And it's like, I'm seeing it. So I really thank God for you guys. I thank God for you guys' ministry.
Yeah.
I thank God for the church. We love the church. Yes. We just love you guys, man. And
thank you.
And I just hope this is not it. Because seriously, this... I want to make y'all a part of the show.
I want to extend an invitation to you, Lady Paige.
All right.
To be my accountability partner.
Absolutely.
Because I know you will definitely show me my error in love. And I know you will help encourage me when I'm weak.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I want somebody in my life where they don't look at me and always think I'm supposed to be happy.
Yes.
Happy. I want somebody in my life, a woman in my life where I can be all of these things.
Yes.
I can be in my worst and I can come to you and be straight up with you and tell you exactly what it is. And it might not always look like the church girl everybody think I am. And I'm asking you if you would do that for me.
Absolutely. I would be honored to do that.
And I thank you. And I'm so
absolutely.
Oh,
that's beautiful.
God.
Man, listen, y'all. We gotta we are past our time. We could keep going. I promise you. This is a powerful couple. Aww. This is a powerful podcast. We are here at. We want to give our Sacred Stone brethren, brothers in Christ, a shout out, y'all.
Yes.
Sacred Stone Studios. Quincy and my boy Marcus. Man, y'all, they are awesome, man. They record the live events.
Yeah.
They record music. They record your voice. They probably do voiceovers, so you probably can talk to them. They do everything when it comes to some type of recording. So if you were in the Houston area, y'all look them up. I highly recommend them.
Yeah. Right.
Awesome. Highly recommend them.
It's
and
a beautiful the,
and,
day.
And we just thank God for our new family and Shift Real Talk Tuesday nights. Because I love the dialogue and I love where it's going.
Yeah.
And when it's God, it's just God, man.
It is.
We love
when
you
it
guys.
Is,
we love
is,
you guys,
right
man. Thank you so much.
For real.
Yeah.
I mean, and then what we're gonna do at this man, we're gonna hear the last thing from this powerful man of God, Pastor Page. He is a prayer. He is a prayer. And we're going to ask him to close us out in a powerful word of prayer.
Come on.
And just
thank you, Jesus.
Whatever you feel.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we acknowledge our need for you right now,
my
God.
Thank
you, Lord. We're all human beings, men and women, Father. Mm-hmm. We have our faults, our failures, our insecurities, our weaknesses, and just the ugliness on the inside, Father, that we don't want to share, we don't want to admit, we don't want to confess, Father God, but you know all about it,
you
Lord.
See it, God.
You know, Father God, and we're on our face before you even this evening, Lord God, even things that we are afraid to share with others, Lord, we know we can bring to you, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you would heal us, Lord. Heal us on the inside out, Father. We want to be what you would have us to be, Father God. Help us to throw aside. I want to throw aside my idea, my way, and my thinking, and my wisdom, and my smarts, Lord. And I just want to submit wholly and completely to you, Lord. I want you to have your way in my life, Lord. Have your way in our lives, oh God. Take us, oh God, even as the potter takes the clay, Lord, and mold us and make us after your will, Father. We want to honor you. We want to glorify you. We want to magnify you, Father God. And most of all, we want to know you, Lord God. We want to know you in a real way, Lord God. We want the intimacy that we have with you, Lord God. Let it, oh God, affect the intimacy we have with our marriage partners, oh God. The intimacy we have with our children, oh God. The relationships we have with other believers and other people, Father God. Let it be an outflowing of the love and the power, Lord. That is born of the intimacy that we have with our Heavenly Father, Lord. Father, we know that we can't do it, oh God. Only you can do it, Father. Only you can pick up the broken pieces. Only you can make it whole again. Only you can give full security and satisfaction, Father God. Only you can make us strong enough, oh God, to give rather than take, oh God. Father God, to heal rather than to break, oh God. Lord God, to encourage rather than to tear down. Lord
thank
God,
you right
only
now,
you
God.
Can make us strong enough,
only
oh
you.
God. Lord God, to endure, oh God, the hardships and
glory
endure the sorrow
name.
And the pain and yet give you the glory, Lord God. Only you can supply that which we lack, oh God. You can supply, oh God, from your everlasting supply that which we need to be the men and the women that you have called us to be, Father. Father, we thank you for Pastor Jay and Lady Alma here, Lord God. Thank you for the work that you have given them, oh God. We pray a blessing upon
right
them right
now
in the name of Jesus,
Lord.
Oh God. We pray, God, that you will bless their ministry,
right
bless
now,
their marriage, oh God. Let come
Jesus,
out of their marriage
God.
The love and the power,
Lord,
Lord God, that will heal
thank
other relationships,
you,
that will heal other families, oh God.
Yes,
even you're already
oh God,
doing it in
hallelujah.
Their life, oh God, restoring others that are broken, those
yes,
that have been
Jesus,
torn
hallelujah.
Down, Lord God. You're using their lives to build them up, Lord God. You're using their love, oh God. You're even using their imperfections, oh God, to show your mercy, to show your grace, to show that we can make it, to show that anybody can make it, oh God, if they believe and trust in you, Father God. Master, we just ask a blessing upon them when they go out and when they come in, oh God, a blessing in the city and in the field, oh God, a blessing upon them in their homes, oh God, in their marriage, with their children, God. Oh God, yes. With their kinfolk, with their acquaintances. Yes, God. Yes, God. Oh God, we ask that you will glorify yourself, Father.
Yes, Lord. Please.
We pray for this studio, God, here, oh God. We pray for this brother, Lord, who is here recording, oh God, him and his partner and his ministry and his business and his mission. Father, we pray a blessing on it right now in the name of Jesus. Shower down your blessing. Shower down your glory. Shower down your anointing, oh God. Let it be upon the business and let it flow over into his family, into his home, and into his marriage, and into his very soul, oh God. We ask a blessing. Yes, in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
And Father, we recognize that we're nothing without you, Father.
My God.
We give it all to you now. And we glorify you. We give you the praise.
Yes.
In Jesus' precious name.
Thank you, Master.
Amen.
Lord of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I love how y'all call him Master.
Powerful.
I'm going to take that. That's a blessing.
Yes.
That's who he is.
Powerful, y'all.
Glory to God.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey.
Hallelujah.
This is Shift Real Talk Tuesdays. Yes. Lady Free, Pastor Jay, and our esteemed guests, Pages, Justina and James Page.
Our covenant partners.
That's right. Listen, this is Shift Real Talk signing out. Until next Tuesday, let's get it.
Thanks for watching.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.